this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
We are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how we doing? How we doing? United does the deed at home against Burnley, the Builders, as we call them. Didn't make it easy for us. We had to fight for every goal in it, but a huge win. United are in the best form in the league. That gap with City is down to single digits, my man. It's 8 points, and United getting some much-needed rest midweek. First time since I can remember with a week off. How you doing? How you feeling? Happy Sunday.
Sir, pod never sleeps, and Manchester United just doing it as they should. It's all about those black banners at Old Trafford. Sir Ole changed them up. Our home form has improved. The players, Mason Greenwood, take a bow. I mean, what a hit. Two great goals. Cavani coming on at halftime. You know, good on Ole taking out Cavani, taking out Fred, putting Cavani in. More attacking intent. Burnley was always going to troll us, sir. And we put him to the sword. What a pass from Donny. Ice cold. You'd love to see it. What a counterattacking goal. Cavani needs to resign, sir. We need Cavani next season at Manchester United.
We need Eddie. I'm not talking about Eddie Woodward. I'm talking about Eddie Cavani. Fairly, that's what the players call him around Old Trafford. So, dude, he's such a player. Big shout out to Ole. Great sub at halftime. Tactical, right? Fred wasn't quite doing the job. They were going to make us really kind of push in order to get a goal. I love that. We need a little bit more of that. I thought also the Donny sub for Rashford, he looked, you know, electric, but he also looked beat up, took a bunch of hits from the Burnley players because that's all they have. Hoping they go down, sir. Never thought I'd dislike a team so much in the bottom half. They're the new Stoke, you know. You just don't want to play them. Tough as nails, but they never make it easy for you. But a good professional win and a great team goal, counterattacking goal. Everybody involved for that third one, just putting the sword through their hearts, and you love to see it. Finishing teams off.
Absolutely. And it's one thing, we've been watching this Manchester United side for a while. In the doldrums, the nil-nils, we had nothing going for it. This game, we were creating a lot of chances early on in the match. We were odds-on favorite to win, and that's what you like to see. Attacking intent, exciting play for Manchester United. Clearly, we were going to leak one at the back. We looked a little shaky. I mean, Burnley had their chances, right? But we were going forward. We were brave. We were creating chances. And at the end of the day, to score in stoppage time and kill him off for the second time in recent memory, sir, that's Manchester United of old. Absolutely ruthless. You give one to get one. You put everyone forward. You attack. You love the style of football we're watching. Couldn't be at a better time for Ole's men.
It's all about finishing strong, right? This is a great, great momentum. United's been on a good tear. 5 wins in a row in the Premier League. You got to keep that form hot as we focus on Europe in a couple weeks, going to Roma. But you love to see it. Everybody contributing, good team play. And like you said, even when Burnley made it really tough, 11 men, you know, 10 men behind the ball, 9 men in the box at times, making it really difficult to even get a shot in. United just bided their time, turned the screws, and got the goal.
And Mason Greenwood, I mean, what a player. He's been played a lot, hasn't gotten his goals, and now he's just got that swagger. Just like scoring, obviously getting lucky on the deflection, but just taking the shot, being brave. I mean, that's what it's about for a young striker. Also looking good on the right, looking good coming through the middle, and him and Cavani together, unbelievable connection. But you got to shout out to Donny, because when the subs come on and they start doing work, that is what Manchester United is all about. Ole knows that better than anyone, the super sub, but Donny looks silky, and Ole is now rotating Donny, and you like to see him in a more forward position because he's the right guy to make that pass to score that goal.
He is. It was a perfect little pass for Cavani to do the tap in to just absolutely kill the game off. He should feature more, and hopefully he does. You know, you would have liked to have Rashford come off a little earlier. That has been a common criticism of Ole, but he is making subs, making the right subs. Now it's just about doing it a little bit more timely. But Donny, what a player he is. You know, it's obvious that we're going to lose Paul Pogba sooner rather than later, but we have some good talent on the bench. Now it's about Ole using it a little bit more, right, sir?
No, exactly. And you see these bench players come in form, like Dan James. Now Donny's in form. And that is what United is about. We have like a core group, but we played well with a lot of players out with the yellow suspensions. Then they come back. Then we're rotating and we're looking good, sir. Somehow we got a week off. We're going to rest up and United are going to kick on really strong, hopefully raising some silverware, hopefully making Manchester City sweat. What a season. It might be the last Premier League we've ever seen, sir. The Super League's coming. Can you believe this rumor?
It's the juiciest bit of the day. It's probably more consequential than the game we're about to break down or the game we're about to preview, because what's coming, it's been a long time coming, but it might be the end of football as we know it.
Sir, that's why we wear the green and gold. We are hashtag Glazers Out. Hashtag Sack Woodward. Dude, too much greed in world football these days. You hate to see it. It's always been building. We will cover it later in the podcast when we get to the news. But first, let's jump into it. Quick PSA for the pod. If you're a fan of the American Red Devils and you want to support independent fan content, the best way to do so is Patreon. You can visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You can support us for anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We're giving away stickers, pins, scarves, shirts, etc. We do not take any private sponsorship money. It's just us backed by the fans directly. And all your support from Patreon goes to keeping the lights on in the bunker, the hosting costs for the podcast, the audio equipment, et cetera, sir. So your support is much appreciated. And a big shout out to everyone who already supports us on Patreon. Also, check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. We have an amazing fan-generated blog there, as well as merchandise. You click on store. You can buy a shirt, hat, scarf, blankets, sir, new badge pins with the Stanley Chow logo. Everything you buy goes to support the podcast directly. This small time operation, that's why we're giving you that biased fan take from the couch. Heavy on the banter, sir. Heavy on the vibes. How could you not be when Manchester United are stacking dubs?
Stacking dubs. You love to see it. And it's going to be green and gold. So you got to be representing for fan, by fan takes. Another great way that you can support the pod is you can write an iTunes review. It goes a long way to helping us get found organically, and it's absolutely free. This is what you have to do. Write a 5-star review. If it's got cheeky banner, even better. And take a screenshot, send it to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will get you some free Stanley Chow design stickers coming into you ASAP, Rocky. Sir, it's absolutely free. Great way to support the pod. And you know what? They're still coming in hot. Appreciate all the great reviews we've been getting across the board, sir. Greatest fans in the world, American Red Devils.
Absolutely. And your support goes a long way. I mean, me and Alex, need to do clickbait. We do not need to do any tricks. We're not trying to get a quick profit. We're not trying to make a quick buck. We're trying to have a self-sustained, independent fan content platform. And we want you to be a part of it. If you want to write for the blog, email us, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. That is what it's all about here at the American Red Devils. For fans, by fans. Sir, let's get into it. Manchester United 3, Burnley 1. What a match. Winning on a Sunday morning. It doesn't get better than that at Old Trafford. We got the new black banners. That terrible home form is a thing of the past. Let's get in the starting 11. Dean Henderson in net. Luke Shaw left back. Maguire Lindelof center back. Praying Wan-Bissaka on the right. The Fred McTominay midfield. A little conservative here from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But you got Pogba on the left. Bruno in the hole. Rashford on the right. Greenwood at number 9. Sir, what do you make of this lineup?
You know, everything but the McFred combo was what I liked. You know, Dino holding on to that starting spot. Maybe didn't have the most confident day from Henderson, but otherwise liked what I saw. Just that the Fred McTominay, usually a workman style midfield that you would see against a top side, right, against a City or a team that's intent to attack. You knew that Burnley's going to be packing it in. You knew that we're going to have to cut through the lines, pass well. That was my only concern. And then obviously, you know, I think Ole saw that, made his change at halftime, but that was my take of the 11. What'd you make of it when you saw it?
Yeah, we both had like a Donnie in there in the two, someone who could play through the lines a little better than Fred. I think he's the one who has the high work rate, but going forward doesn't offer a lot. So conservative from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And then Greenwood at 9, Cavani on the bench. Signs of Cavani leaving there. Little tea leave action. Am I reading too much into that?
He played. I mean, didn't he play the whole game on Thursday? So maybe he's just worried saving his legs if he needed them.
I don't know. Cavani's the best. I thought he had to start here. Burnley, right? The builders, header goals, set pieces. I thought Cavani movement in behind. I mean, we obviously needed him, but again, interesting. Maybe I'm trying a little too much X-Files there for the Cavani, if he's staying or not.
I hope not. I think, you know, the way I view it, every time he gets a goal, that's going to be like something that's dragging him towards re-signing for another year, giving more of a lure, like, I can do it at this club, obviously. And the fan, I think as soon as he does it in front of some fans at Old Trafford, that's going to have a huge impact. It's a totally different thing playing in an empty stadium. You know, it's like football without fans. I think that's
spot on. Like, if you score in front of the Stretford End and, you know, there's 70,000 fans just screaming, Cavani's also got a song, you know, I think you stay. You know, it's just one of those where no fans.
Doesn't even have a song yet. You know, he'd have a song by now. If this has been a normal season and we were playing in front of fans and he was contributing the way he has been, dude, he'd be hearing it all day in the Stretford End. So I think that would be a game changer. Hey, it's not too late. If we finish strong and win some silverware, that might be enough to keep him around.
All right, sir, let's break down this match.
Jumping into it, United got bailed out early, sir, in the first minute. Usually don't say that. Hendo comes out for a 50-50 ball versus the striker, Chris Wood. And Hendo did not read it right. Striker tipped it over into the goal. Luckily for United, he's ruled just offside. It was a close one. But Hendo, we've been really complimentary about him when he does this well, because he has used his body, knows when to come out, has been more of a, you know, the type of keeper that is just coming out of the box whenever necessary. Looked off today, and this was the beginning of a couple off calls for Hendo. But luckily, United do not get punished early.
Yeah, this is one of Hendo's strengths. Absolutely whiffs. Goal goes in. Nightmare stuff for United. But again, VAR to the rescue, sir. Saving the day. Offsides by a smidge. That was a smidge.
That was the definition of a smidge. You know, I think depending on how you draw that line, it could have been on. But either way, United bailed out. Hey, we were in it early. Fourth minute, better for United. McTominay actually had a good shot that was blocked on target. Then it started to kind of slow down a little bit, right? Burnley were putting players in behind the ball.
Greenwood had a great chance as well early on. That one that was centered right in front of the net wasn't on the end of it. I mean, United, we actually were attacking pretty well to start after that chance from Burnley.
Totally. Settled down a little bit. 30th minute, Shaw with a decent corner. Pogba blasted over, but United starting to show their intent a little bit. 35th minute. This is the one that got you all hot and bothered, my man. Lindelof found Rashford over the top with a very nice ball, which is trademark Lindelof at this point. Keeper rushes out. Rashford kind of dummied him. Ball went through his legs, and then he kind of, you know, the keeper just stood up, knocked over Marcus. No penalty. Most people, you know, it kind of was divisive, but what was your take on this one, my man?
Sir, I thought this was a penalty. I got skewered on social media, but, you know, what does social media know? Like, it's in the era of VAR where you slow anything down, it looks like a pen. If Rashford got contact with the keeper, I think that's a penalty. But the keeper did put him off and didn't get the ball. So it's one of those where, you know, it's a minority report penalty where it's like if the keeper doesn't touch him, but he's in the way and then Rashford goes down because of his momentum at such high speed. You know, I just thought the fact that he dummied the keeper and the keeper didn't get any of the ball was enough, but then if Rashford needed to get contact with the keeper, so fine margins, and with VAR, you know, and John Moss, we're not getting nothing. So, you know, to get this would be, you know, that's a reach, but I'm going to say, you know, bias fan take from the couch, baby. It's a pen straight up. Let's go.
It's a pen red car setting them off. Hey, yes. I think you get, that is the fan take. I love that. You know, that's why you're here. But you know what? We got bailed out early because that Hendo giveaway that could have given a goal either way. This one, I think if it's not the keeper and it's the same kind of thing, maybe it's a pen, but either way, that's not what we're looking to do. And like you said, John Moss wasn't calling nothing for United. He was looking for every chance to not go against United. Before the half end of 38th minute, great chance for United. This is the one you're talking about. Bruno put in an awesome ball for Greenwood, but he slips just as he's about to get the tap in. Real close call, but United should have been going, you know, 1-0 up into the first half, sir.
But this is what I like for United. We were getting to the touchline. We were putting in crosses, pulling it back. You can see Greenwood in the box. You know, there's a lot more intent. Like, Shaw did a good job at this on the left. Rashford and Shaw were really sharp on this in the first half. And I just saw it. You're starting to see that on the right now when Bruno kind of comes in and Greenwood goes central. A lot of good chance creation. This is high probability stuff if you're monitoring that XG. I mean, this one, this is almost a G.
It's got to be a straight G. That was kind of the last big moment before the half. So what do you think Ole is saying to the boys? You know, we saw it. We saw the El Matador warming up. You know he was going on. But what do you think Ole said to the boys at halftime?
I'm surprised he did the halftime sub. You know, it's almost like an Ole. I thought this was good. I think Ole's learning, and I think he saw that, like, look, Burnley's going to be tough. We need to get another goal. Cavani will give him trouble, and I think Greenwood moving him out on the right was the move. I think that had to be the motivation, but more of the same, just like he's just going all in here.
He's going all in. We haven't seen a ton of that from Ole, so I was excited about this sub we're about to get into. Right to kick off second half, Cavani comes on for Fred. Pushes Pogba down into the midfield too, and it didn't take long for it to pay off, sir, in the 47th minute.
Para Rashford. Pasa bien, Marcus Rashford. Pide Bruno Fernandes. Aquí Bruno deja pasar. Green Woman! Manchester United. ¡Qué golazo! ¡Qué gran jugada de Rashford!
¡Qué jugada! Desde la salida de atrás de Luke
Shaw. ¡Qué jugada, sir! Great goal. Great ball in from Rashford. And what a dummy from Bruno Fernandes, making it all possible as Greenwood finishes. It's nice as you like. Great to see it from the young lad. Nice, calm, cool, collected finish. Let's go. Game on.
And shout out to our boys at Telemundo. We're like Telemundo exclusive. The goal is spectacular. And that's, I don't know the commentator, but that is my favorite one where he goes, Del Manchester United. That's like the best. So, Qué golazo. Like, what a goal. What a goal for Mason Greenwood, the youngster on the mark. He, as a United fan, this is what it's all about. Academy lad showing up big. And United rolling with goals. When Greenwood's scoring, we're rolling.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. What a run, and just like beating his man easy, Marcus Rashford. Great to see it. Sir, we're a little leaky on the other end. You know, some people say that from corners, from free kicks, we're vulnerable. In the 50th minute, Burnley showing that.
Por arriba busca el empate.
Sorry, he doesn't enjoy it as much. He does.
Whole Mundo highlights for Burnley. That's like, you know.
Well, that's why I cut it short. That's why I cut it short.
Well, that you know, you don't play. That's a rule on the podcast. You don't play Telemundo calls for the other team. That's just not a thing.
No, I know. There you go.
You should be fine.
No. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Sorry, you know, we're just rolling with it. Sometimes things happen.
I just can't get the goal call against me. You know, that's like
it cuts both ways, especially when you let in a goal like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you know what? This goal cut. This one cut. You score a great goal at the other end, you're like, finally break through. Uh-oh. Set piece goal. Burnley the builders. They're gonna fight us in the box. AWB's off. Hendo's off. Harry is soft on this one. And you know, it goes in. We've seen this movie before, sir. Relegation size scoring on set pieces in our house. This has been, if we could clean this up, we'd probably be in a title race at the moment.
No, you're absolutely right. We don't always respond as well as we respond today, but a lot of those set pieces, the teams that we shouldn't be dropping points to, this was reminiscent of a lot of late equalizers or go-ahead goals. But like you said, Maguire getting pawed over has to be stronger here, right? He's a big, big guy in the box, and you can't be getting murked by Tarkowski because you know that's what they do. Vulnerable there, but hate to see it. And I play the Telemundo call because I wanted to get you riled up, and it worked.
I'm fired up. Fired up.
Love to see it. Speaking of which, 64th minute, took a little bit more time for United to get something going. Maguire blasted over after Rashford, like, was just picking apart his defender to earn a corner in the first place. But Harry, got to work on those headers.
He's due. Harry's due.
He is due for a big goal. 68th minute, Maguire actually came pushing forward near the edge of the box, picked out Rashford with a really nice pass, but Rashford couldn't quite get it settled underneath his feet. That was really the last, you know, of Marcus Rashford. This sub probably should have come 10 minutes earlier.
He was limping after that one. You know, got caught in his feet, and you could see he's limping. You know, it's Marcus Rashford is going to enjoy this week off.
Hey, he's earned it. He certainly has. The 83rd minute, that was the sub we were talking about. Donny van de Beek came on for Marcus Rashford. Should have come on a little earlier just because Marcus looks battered. You know, he looked electric on the left side of the pitch, especially him and Shaw playing together. Really, building a strong partnership, but the kid's been playing injured for a long time now, and you know Burnley weren't shying away from any tackles. So in the 85th minute, sorry, here's a Telemundo call you'll appreciate.
Fernandes para Pogba. Greenwood. Ahí va Greenwood. Se le viene gol. 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 Del Manchester United.
So how do you get the double goal? Sometimes he does the single goal with Manchester United, then he does the goal, plus the second goal for Manchester United. A little bit of luck, but a nice take from Mason. And you know what? I think we deserved a little bit of good fortune today. United, we're pushing forward. Love to see it. Love to see it. You see how much it means to the team.
So a goal is a goal is a goal is a goal. Burnley put 19 people in the box. It's going to ping pong around somewhere, go in. It's like, that's part of the game. It's like Greenwood hits it with venom and gets lucky. But against Burnley, you're going to have to get lucky, sir.
You are, because it's a good point. That's one of the downfalls for a team that is intent on putting so many players in the box, is that there's a lot of people for it to deflect off of, especially when Mason has so much piss and vinegar behind his shot. I mean, he puts a lot of power behind it. You love to see it. So after this goal, United starting to wake up. Nothing better than a Burnley side that has to push forward and you can expose them on the counter.
Sir, did you put Telemundo calls for every single goal from this match?
Yes, I did.
Sorry, we've gotten the feedback that we can't have Telemundo calls for every single goal.
Well, some of these were, it was such an exciting game that I needed to channel my inner Telemundo. And the only other option, was Arlo.
But you need an Arlo for like the Burnley, an Arlo for maybe the deflection goal, and then the Telemundo for the killer. But hey, you know what? I'm just giving you the feedback live for the fans. Some people love the Telemundo, some people don't. We got to have a healthy mix, So you got to have Downer Arlo White for at least the Burnley goal.
We're making rules up on the fly, and I kind of like it. I respect that. I have nothing wrong with it. I'll tell you what, we were getting a lot of complaints about people that were stuck on the NBC Sports feed, switching over to Telemundo mid-game because they couldn't handle it.
Yeah, but you know what I love is everyone's starting to tweet Arlo White. Arlo White, I love it. Keep tweeting Arlo White. He loves the feedback. Like you said it during the game we were watching, they are anti-United like so hard. And it's just like, that's why we watch Telemundo. Let's get into it. What a goal. What a counterattacking play. You love to see this one and you love the Telemundo call. Let's get into a triple goal this time.
90 plus three. Here we go.
Good. Ahí va Mason, Greenwood para Bruno Fernández, el gol de Van de Beek, gol de Van de Beek, vino el centro, Cavani, gol, gol del Manchester United, lo hizo el matador.
Sir, it's an unbelievably good counterattacking goal. I want to get back to the NBC Sports bias in a minute, but you love to see it. Dude, everywhere, just passing the ball around so well. Cavani to Greenwood to Bruno to Donnie, Donnie to Cavani. It's just wonderful to see, and we need more of that.
Sir, this is beautiful football. This is playing the Manchester United way. And you know what? It's so sweet to see because we saw a lot of nil-nils. We saw a lot of struggling and grinding in the results, and this is what it's all about, putting teams to the sword. And, everyone involved, Donnie, Cavani, Greenwood, I mean, what a game. 3-1, what looked like a rough match, people moaning after the Burnley goal. Strong performance when? 85th minute, 93rd minute. That's what Manchester United is all about. We're back, baby. We're back.
This is a huge win. Because you could easily, sag your heads down after you could see that goal. They are making it tough for us, and you needed a little bit of luck on your way. So Greenwood, I don't think you create your own luck with so many chances at this point, but it's a huge win against a tough opponent. Really hoping Burnley gets sent down. The Fulham game against Arsenal got a late equalizer, whereas they could have used those extra 2 points to kind of put some pressure on Burnley. But you love to see an Arsenal side scores an equalizer, they don't grab the ball. Just like a small club mentality, just celebrating the 1 point. Arteta's men safe from the drop.
I'll tell you what, Arsenal Fan TV is worth a watch. I'll tell you that that's some brilliant content. They've been floundering. What a team. And we just have to make sure that we beat them in the Europa League final, bro. That's what it, look. Look, they're Banter FC, but if we play them in the final and they somehow pip us, you know, that's a bad look. We got to be dispatching them like 4-0. I really think that's what the final is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I want to play Villarreal just because we've had good luck against Spanish opponents, especially this season.
That's true.
Arsenal, dude, they just bad juju. I don't even want to think about it. I have to think they're going to bottle it in the semis.
All right, match stats. Manchester United 70% of the ball. Burnley 30%. Have a laugh. Burnley trying to troll us. Shots on target 8-3. More like it from United, sir. I was talking about the chance production. It was great. Match reaction. No teenager has ever scored more Premier League goals for Manchester United than Mason Greenwood, who now has 15. And Eddie Cavani has now scored 4 goals as a substitute in the Premier League this season, with only Chicharito and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer netting more in a single season. Cavani, please stay, my man. And Manchester United completed their first double over Burnley since 1976. A lot of draws against Burnley. That's why we hadn't had it. We went through the history a little earlier on the last podcast, sir. But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Well, you know, whilst this game was being played out, news has broken of a potential so-called Super League. Yes. Manchester United is one of the clubs who's signed up to support it. What can you tell us that you know about the proposals?
I've seen this morning, the news about and the speculation, so I can't really say too much. My focus has just been on this game, and I got the news today as well.
I understand it's limiting what you can say. We've asked for somebody else from the club to speak to us. So far, that hasn't happened. But do you understand at all what the proposals might mean for you and your players?
I haven't looked into it. I've been just focusing on this game, so I just need to sit down and see what it is, and the club will probably comment on it later.
Would it worry you if I tell you that both UEFA and the Premier League said potentially they would stop Manchester United playing in the Premier League and stop clubs who sign up to it from playing internationally?
As I said, I've not seen any, so I don't really know all the ins and outs, so I need to find out, and then the clubs can issue a comment probably.
Totally understand your position, Ole. I appreciate it.
Poor Ole. That's basically the end of the interview, but it's like, you think, you know who's behind this. We're going to talk about United in the news, sir, but this is a Glazer move. This is not like Manchester United, the football club. This is basically the Glazers' last shot and maybe sticking around for a while, where they basically don't have to invest in the team and the cash cow will just keep churning those $100 million checks every season.
Sir, you know, they're trying to NFL-ify European soccer, the most capitalistic sport in the world, and that's probably, that's one of the main reasons I fell in love with it. You know, in American sports, the leagues, there's no relegation, there's no competition, and your teams can get lazy, man. Imagine if you're like a Bengals fan, imagine if you're, I don't know, insert terrible baseball team here, Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's the one I was going for.
Owners are cashing in and you're playing it and they have a poor product on the field because there's no disincentive for having a poor product. And, you know, obviously we're not talking about relegation with the Super League. There's just so much greed. They just want guaranteed payouts. They want guaranteed Champions League payouts, and it's all money driven. But look, we all know where Eddie is. We all know where the Glazers is, but let's give credit to the man at the wheel, Sir Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He is fighting all the bullshit upwards, right? He has to deal with the Glazers and the board not spending. He has to deal with them not bringing in world-class talent to be the director of football. He has to deal with them not re-signing players that are valuable to Manchester United. He has to even deal with this, them dropping this pretty much treasonous, signing up to this Super League. He clearly doesn't rate it, but he also has to like hold the line so he can protect the players and continue to play good football while all these off the field distractions are going on. So credit to Ole. He's able to navigate, like, this is double black diamond stuff, managing up and managing down and getting good results for Manchester United. Unbelievable. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. At the end of the day, he's probably gets criticized way more and fancy to be focusing on hashtag Glazers out, hashtag Zach Woodward. They're the cancer at this club. Ole might not be have the resume of a manager that maybe should be at Manchester United, but right now he's the perfect manager at Manchester United because a lot of managers would quit based on all the bullshit they've been having to deal with this ownership.
They would quit or they would force the owner's hands like Jose did, right? Jose just made it so toxic to be a Manchester United player, to be a Manchester United fan, that he just forced the issue, had himself sacked, got a big payout. You could tell it was like he didn't even know about it till this morning, right? He was like, there was a genuine shock in his face. That tells you everything you need to know about Ed Woodward and the owners. Is like they're just trying to drive this over the top, see if they can get away with it. And I don't think that, you know, we'll talk about it in the news, but I don't think they're getting away with this. Everyone's going to react in a certain way.
This is, let's check it with the table. You know, we can talk about a terrible ownership bar forever, but right now, Ole's doing a great job with the lads. 66 points in second place, 32 matches played. City at 74. We are 8 behind them. You want to talk about form in the last 5 in the league? Manchester United have won all 5. City have won 2, lost 2. One of those being to us. So 8 points, sir. We've gone through the fixtures for both teams. You're saying there's a chance. Clearly, City have to slip big time. I mean, there are a few tough matches that they have, but it's going to be highly unlikely they do. But there is a chance, and that's, as fans, I'm not saying we're going to have a chance of winning the title. I'm saying City is going to be thinking about Champions League number one, and then they got Villa, sir. They got Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Newcastle, Brighton, and Everton. I'm looking at Villa, Chelsea, and Everton, maybe Brighton being spoilers because Brighton's in that relegation fight. You know, there is a chance they could trip, drop maybe a couple points, and then start choking, but highly unlikely before the end of the season.
I mean, we need a meltdown. We need like a full meltdown City. They lose like 2 games in a row in the league, which we just haven't seen. But the only thing that, you know, gives me a little bit of hope is United are in red hot form. And I think we can keep this going. And they have so many games, right? They played yesterday, the FA Cup. They're playing midweek. We won't be doing that. And then they're playing again. So it's, you know, we'll see what happens. They're never an impossibility. Points are up there. And let's keep the pressure on them by keep winning.
Well, I'm just going to remind you, Chelsea beat him in the FA Cup semifinal. So, you know, if Chelsea beat him again, then it's 5 points. And if they draw somebody, then it's 3. So there is a possibility for something to happen. Obviously, we got to win out. But also, you know, got to comment on Manchester City losing the FA Cup semifinals to Chelsea because the treble, sir, 99, have you won the treble? Like Gary Neville, Pep Guardiola hasn't. A lot of players on City haven't. Why are the press, you know, so obsessed with the quadruple? Like City's going to win everything, and then they never do, and they always collapse. I mean, look, they might win the Champions League this season. Totally agree. That's an accomplishment. Winning the Champions League and the league, that's an accomplishment. But to compare it to the treble-winning side, Liverpool were compared to the treble-winning side in 1999. City were almost compared to them without winning anything yet. It's like, don't you think the treble conversation has to happen when you've won 1 or 2 trophies?
That's the funny thing is, like, you know, usually by this time we would have won the League Cup because that's generally, you know, in a normal year played in January, I think. They should wait until they lock up a couple of those trophies. At this point, they've locked up none of those trophies. Already talking about the quad because it's all statistically possible. So you love to see it. You know, that's just like they've cheapened the fact that, you know, United won this treble, taking it for granted, and what an unbelievable accomplishment it really was, especially the way we did it. Sir, hated, adored, never ignored. They try to cheapen the brand. Same thing with today with NBC Sports. I mean, why are they so anti-United and pro every other team? All other 19 teams, they have no problem, you know, backing all the time, complimenting their players, compliment their manager, no matter where they are. Whether you're 9th place, 18th place, they get more credit than 2nd place Manchester United. Even if we pipped City, they would still be like, they'd still be begrudging about it. They'd be talking about Liverpool, they'd be talking about Arsenal, they'd be talking about Spurs. And you know what? That's probably part of the ethos. Hated, adored, never ignored, love to see it.
Sir, best football club in the world. You know, best story in the world, best history in the world. You know, best, one of the best trophy cabinets in the world, sir. It's especially in England, obviously. And you know one team that they love to talk up? They love this one. They love our next match. Leeds, Scum, and Bielsa. They absolutely salivate over him. First, obviously, Manchester United, sir. We're going to Ellen Road, which everybody knows is full of shit. Premier League game week 33, sir. Leeds versus Manchester United. lifetime, we've won 47 games, drawn 35, and lost 26. Sir, you hate Leeds scum.
We all hate Leeds scum. We all hate Leeds scum. One of the great United rivalries, you know, Battle of the Roses, sir. House of Lancashire versus the House of York, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. And it goes back. Bad blood, old English football. They've been out of the league for so long that they haven't been in the recent memory book. But they're sticking around for a while, and they are certainly the darling, at least of NBC Sports. They love talking about Leeds. They love Leeds.
Sir, the Roses rivalry, the War of the Roses, takes place Sunday, April 25th at 6 a.m. A little early morning wake-up call for the American Red Devils. We've had it easy the last couple of months, but, you know, this will be a good one. We all hate Leeds scum. I mean, this is probably, I'm going to say, the number one rival. You know, there have been English Premier League rivals, but just pure hatred. The fans behind it, the classic 1980s, you know, real hooliganism type of rivalry. This is what it's all about. Coming into this match, Leeds lost to West Ham 2-0. They drew Chelsea, beat Fulham 2-1, beat Sheffield United 2-1, and then they beat City with 10 men 2-1, doing us a favor in the race for the league. Sir, they play Liverpool tomorrow, then us. So they're going to have less rest. They press quite a bit, the Bielsa high-energy game. Hopefully the lack of rest here hurts them. We need to be beating Leeds. Number one, we hate Leeds scum. And number two, putting pressure on City up the table and locking up top four.
When was the last time going to a Premier League game? The other team had less rest than we did, especially for a side that's not playing in Europe. So have a full week's rest. It's going to be great for the lads. And, you know, Leeds are going to be pumped up, ready to play. They're not in a relegation fight at the moment, and they know how much this means to the fans, at least for their fans, our fans. This is like the rivalry probably for local fans that means the most. I would think if you're a Manc, you want to beat Leeds the most just because when you see those fans on the other side, you don't see anything you like. So huge match. Looking for the Telemundo call on that one because I don't know if I could put up with 90 minutes of NBC Sports fawning over Bielsa. They love his football so much and his squat behavior, but can't wait. Huge match. Getting a little bit of a break this week. That'll be big for the boys. Maybe have some time to focus on tactics and defending against set pieces.
A little history about Leeds. They were founded in 1919 following the disbanding of Leeds City by the Football League. They took over Ellen Road Stadium. Little history in 1919. Babe Ruth was traded by the Boston Red Sox to the New York Yankees, sir. And obviously, the curse of the Bambino ensued for almost 100 years. As a, you know, someone from New Jersey, you know, you like to see that, the curse of the Bambino. Let's hope Leeds are cursed. Let's hope they'll be relegated soon enough. History on the rivalry, sir. It's nicknamed the Roses Rivalry, War of the Roses, or the Penny Derby. It's played between Leeds United and Manchester United. And the rivalry originates from the strong hatred between the historic counties of Lancashire and Yorkshire, sir. This goes all the way back to like the 14th century. Part of the history of Game of Thrones was based on this rivalry. It was the War of the Roses. Sorry, not the 14th, 15th century. Pretty old, sir. When it gets that old, essentially the colors behind it, the white rose and the red rose, that all comes from the 15th century. So these two areas have hated each other for generations and generations and generations, sir. And then obviously the white and red for Manchester United and Leeds, it bled into football, sir. And it, you know, it just got the hooliganism. Like, many people in the 70s were injured in these violent encounters between Manchester United Red Army and Leeds United Service Crew, the two most notorious hooligan firms in the 70s and early 80s. That's when the crackdown happened. And, you know, Leeds and United just going at it on the pitch, off the pitch. So they didn't have enough police. They didn't have enough coppers to stop the firms from going at it.
Those are the kind of scraps where you'd have police horses getting punched. You know, it's just hold barred, bare knuckle stuff. Football's changed a lot since then. But I'm saying if you had a Manc or a Leeds fan from the 50s or 60s year old that have seen it all, they remember these probably the most. It's because local rivalry, hate Leeds the most. That's why they're involved in every chant. You always find room and Leeds. We hate Leeds the most. So, big game, and we did them dirty earlier this season. Came out, lights out, and just like put them to the sword. Hopefully, we can see the same This weekend, next weekend. Can't wait.
First time we played January 1923, it was a draw, 0-0. And we played 110 times. Manchester United winning 48. Like I mentioned, most appearances in the derby was Sir Bobby Charlton. Shout out to Sir Bobby. He's also the top scorer with 9 goals. And the largest victory, we beat him 6-0 in 1959. We did 6-2 earlier this season, so that's up there in the record books. But an important match that Manchester United need to put them to the sword. Leeds, their history, 3 English titles, 1 FA Cup, 1 League Cup, 2 Community Shields, and 1 Intercity Fairs Cup. They did reach the 1975 European Cup final, losing to Bayern Munich. So when United, the footballing firms, were clashing in the 70s and 80s, Leeds was actually a powerhouse in European football, and obviously we know what happened in the since. Checking with injuries, physioroom.com, Baye, Jones, Martial out. Baye, obviously the COVID lockdown. Haven't seen him in training yet. Phil Jones is now back in training. Who knows if he's going to play this year. Maybe in a game that doesn't matter once the league's locked up, we might see Phil Jones and Martial probably out for the year. Sir, given those injuries, what's your lineup?
This is what I've got. I've got Hendo back in net. I'm doing a back four of AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, and Shaw. I'm going to do Fred, Donny van de Beek, Pogba, and then a front three of Bruno, Greenwood, and Cavani. I'm going to rest Rashford. He needs a rest.
All right, I'm going to say, Hendo in net, Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw. I'm going to do McTominay, Donny van de Beek, Pogba on the left, Bruno in the hole. I'm going to do Greenwood on the right and Cavani up top, sir. Very similar to yours, but I'm doing the Donny with McTominay instead of Donny with Fred.
I like that. I think Donny has a role to play in this team. He should be featuring more often, especially – you know, this is going to be a wide open game. You could use his creativity in the middle of the park, slice them open. There are going to be a lot of goals, you would think, in this matchup.
Booking the bookies, we are our favorites, minus 115, draw plus 280, and Leeds plus 290, sir. What's your score prediction for the lads going away to Ellen Road?
Sir, I think it's going to be 4-2. Big game. They're going to have goals in them, but United, you know, that leaky Leeds defense, they throw a lot of players forward. They're not Burnley, so we're going to exploit that. United looks pretty solid right now at the counter. What do you got?
So I'm going to say 3-1. Again, like you said, we're going to leak one. It's going to be similar to like this Burnley match. I'm kind of thinking maybe De Gea is the man to play versus Dino, right? In sort of a shot-stopping match, you know? This isn't like that sort of tough-nosed, you know, Burnley match. This is maybe De Gea on it. What do you think?
I mean, the only thing that maybe just the sweeper element of Hendo could be really valuable because it's going to be so open, wide to wide, just the same way it was with Spurs, where he kept coming out really well. Today wasn't his best game from Dino and Ned. I think we can all admit that. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what he goes. I would think that he's going to stick with his man Hendo. He looks like he has the top spot at the moment.
I'm revising. Put De Gea in my starting 11. Hendo gets dropped because he wore the hat. You can't wear the hat.
What was the last time we saw? I was trying to think. It was like the Wigan keeper.
It was the Wigan.
It was the Wigan keeper.
Say, yeah. Wigan keeper, like, you know, like 08, 09, you know, like big hat guy. What a hat.
What a hat.
Breaking down the latest news here for Manchester United, and this one is a doozy, sir. We just wanted to have a like calm podcast, break down the win. We got Leeds next. It's going to be an easy week. Then boom, all of a sudden, you all know it, European Super League from the Daily Mail, from everywhere in England pretty much, has broken the Telegraph. The announcement is coming tonight, I believe, at 9:30 UK time. Sir, so probably in about 7:40 in London right now, 2 more hours, and apparently the official announcement is going to come. The Big Six in England have signed up for the new European Super League with breakaway competition set to be announced tonight at 9:30 but the UEFA and Premier League and others hit back. This is a land grab, and so we're just going to give you the facts, of kind of what it is, what the EPL and UEFA have said, and then we'll kind of talk about, you know, do we really think this is something that can happen? So the plan around the Super League, we've heard it for years. Essentially, the plan is around for 15 to 18 teams, but the initial founding 12 members are six English clubs plus Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Atletico from Spain, Juventus, AC Milan, and Inter from Italy. And this leaves a little bit of room for other clubs like Bayern Munich, PSG to be like sort of picked off. Essentially, it's going to be a negotiating chip. UEFA right now is announcing a new format for the Champions League. So this is kind of the opening salvo in negotiations, I think, if you will, where UEFA is going to update the Champions League, include more teams or a different type of format. And then they're saying, hey, we don't want that. We want to do our own thing and actually make it less teams so we can make more money. The five Premier League teams, the top teams to sign up for the European Super League are Liverpool, Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea, and Tottenham. Somehow Tottenham's in the Super League, sir. I don't know how that happened. I think it's because Levy's just that greedy. And like I mentioned, UEFA are planning to announce their new format soon. And so this is kind of a political move ahead of that, because I think it's a negotiation. This is sort of a negotiating chip here. And basically what happens is, like, the new teams, these teams, like we said, the top teams in Europe, they want to snub the UEFA changes, which they're not going to like, because I think it's going to include more teams and split the money more ways. Per the Daily Mail, the new league represents the American takeover of elite European football. I mean, A, you know, we are Americans. Our sports are very socialist. And the billionaires, they want that money locked up instead of having to compete for it every single season like we're seeing with top four. Essentially, this is backed by J.P. Morgan, and it's the brainchild of Real Madrid president Florentino Perez. Anything that Florentino Perez likes, I don't. But apparently the Glazers do. Apparently Abramovich does. And apparently Henry at Liverpool does. It's believed Perez will hold the chairman's role. He's going to be running it, if you can believe that. Liverpool, John Henry, Joel Glazer, and Stan Kroenke will all be vice chairman. So this is sort of like a big move. Henry, Glazer, Kroenke partnering with Perez, and they're going to kind of run the league. Essentially, the hitch here is Manchester United, like we heard in the Ole interview, would need EPL approval to participate in such a league. So if the EPL says, hey, you can't play, then Manchester United can't play in the English Premier League anymore. So then they would basically create their own new league, and they wouldn't participate in the English Premier League, a tradition like none other, sir. You know, and then that kind of makes you – I'll stop right there. What the hell did I just read?
So this is a power grab. It's a money grab. It's a land grab, like you mentioned. All you have to do is look at the teams involved with it and the owners involved with it, and it's like – you put Joel Glazer, John Henry, and Stan Kroenke in a room together, and what do they want? They want as much money as they possibly can without having to invest in the team, right? Kroenke's already driven Arsenal into the ground. They're ninth place, and they're like, we're a big six team. Not even going to make it into the Europa League qualifications. Glazer only cares about money, and I see this, you know, we're going to go like 3D chess, X-Files music, as you said. This is going to be a great excuse for the Glazers to not spend money this summer when this gets shut down, because everyone is going to have this ridiculous response, as they should, that this is reprehensible. It's everything wrong with modern sports. You don't want to do this. The competitiveness is what makes it so exciting. Every season is a different change of teams that are competitive. There is no big six anymore. The idea that there's an established big six is kind of, you know, it's out of the window, and that's what makes it so much fun to watch.
It used to, when I started watching, it was Big Four.
Exactly.
And then the Big Four changed, and it became Big Six, and now it's probably Big Eight. And that's what's good. What you're seeing right now is competition. You're seeing capitalism, sir, and that's what you want to see. The UEFA statement. So I'm going to read the UEFA, then Premier League, then we'll kind of break it down. UEFA says the English Football Association, the Premier League, the Royal Spanish Football Federation, La Liga, Italian Football Federation, and Serie A have learned that a few English, Spanish, and Italian clubs may be planning to announce their creation of a so-called Super League. You love that European salvo there. So-called Super
it.
League. We remain united in our efforts to stop this cynical project, a project that is founded on self-interest of a few clubs at a time when society needs solidarity more than ever. Boom. Absolutely love it, UEFA. As previously announced by FIFA and the Six Federation, the clubs concerned will be banned from playing in all other competition at domestic, European, or world level. Their players could be denied the opportunity to represent their national teams at this level. I mean, that is really big time. So that means if you play for Manchester United, you can't play for your country, because obviously if FIFA is in bed, then FIFA and UEFA, they're kind of two, you know, they're kind of intertwined here. And how FIFA goes is going to be very important, right? Because FIFA is the end all be all. And they haven't made a statement, but UEFA linked to FIFA has. And the Premier League came behind them. The Premier League condemns any proposal that attacks the principles of open competition and sporting merit, which are at the heart of the domestic and European football pyramid. A European Super League will undermine the appeal of the whole game and have a deeply damaging impact on the immediate future prospects of the Premier League and its member clubs and all those in football who rely on our founding, funding and solidarity to prosper, sir. This is a crime. Now, everyone worrying, oh, they're going to break away and there's going to be no more Premier League. No. They're doing this because whatever UEFA is going to do with Champions League, they don't agree with. And this is just a negotiate. I believe there's no real – they're not going to do this. This is all a lot of talk, a lot of smoke and mirrors. They're just negotiating with UEFA. They're saying, hey, if you don't listen to what we have to say, because we're real big-time clubs, and if you're not going to pay us more money, then we are going to do this. And whatever changes are coming to Champions League, they don't agree with, because behind closed doors, they already know. Now, like you said, this is a money grab, and the bigger picture is what are the big driving forces of this? Stan Kroenke, he owns the Rams. He owns the Avalanche. He owns the Nuggets. He owns the Rapids. He owns American sports teams. Same with John Henry. Same with Joel Glazer. How do their other teams work? Well, the league, you can't get relegated. You're guaranteed money. It's pooled money, pooled protection for all teams, and you're guaranteed tons and tons of money, millions upon millions of dollars if you have a shit team. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can suck for 14 years and the Glazers can laugh all the way to the bank and make $100 million a year, and they have no concern for their fans and they have no concern for the product on the field. Going to English football, you actually have to play well to make money. And they don't like that. And so those are the big dynamics, is that they want more guaranteed money. They want the rich clubs to get richer. They want the poor clubs to get poorer. They want money guaranteed. And they're trying to – this is a land grab for that purpose. I think it will fail. I will boycott this league. I will totally boycott this league. It's always Glazers out, always green and gold, baby. You know, like we always say, you know, fuck the Glazers. This is unbelievable. This is a disgrace. I think the fans will turn so hard against this. There's not a chance this will happen. And what they'll do is try to negotiate it with UEFA. And this is an embarrassment to sport, to the sport as we know it, sir.
You're spot on. No, you're spot on, because you know what? It's the last move of a desperate man, right? The Glazers are looking for the last thing that will kind of give them a reason to stick around for a lot longer at Manchester United. And that's something that basically makes it so they don't have to invest in the team. And this is like the last push of that. But you know what? These clubs, they're not that big and they don't hold all the cards. They don't hold any cards, right? It's like the league is going to say you cannot participate in the Premier League. You can go play against Spurs three times a year in this Super League. It's like, they have no bargaining power. They're just trying to put together an effort that will give them something when they roll out these new UEFA rules. So hopefully everybody responds the same way across the board, top to bottom, every league participant, no matter what, even if you're a fan of one of these so-called big clubs that's involved as part of this consortium, everyone's going to hate this. There's nothing likable about it. It's like everything wrong with football that you don't want to have come to fruition. The best part about it is the competitiveness. The fact that, like, no matter what, every league is a little bit different. Every season's a little bit different. Just think about this year versus last year and how it's changed. You love to see it. It's everything great with football. So this will not happen. It will fail. This is just something that they're doing because, like you said, UEFA is trying to spread the peanut butter a little bit more widely across other clubs. And that would mean less money for teams that don't want to invest in their club in the first place. So it's shameful. It's shameful, like you mentioned, and it is really, like, I'd imagine the Glazers are heavily involved with this, so that they're going to be a founding member of this so-called consortium. So it's sad to see. It's very much like, you know, 2021 in a nutshell. Everything's about money. Everything's about power, and this is just an opportunity for them to have more money, more power, not have to earn it. Not have to earn it every season, and that's what makes this sport great. Is the competitiveness and how it's just like you have no guarantees.
No, and you're spot on. And what this highlights to the fans is that the Glazers are the problem with Manchester United, right? So you can look at this from a world football's perspective and you're like, okay, they're just greedy billionaires. Oh, billionaires are greedy. Got it. But from a Manchester United perspective, you have to say this goes against the ethos of everything Manchester United, sir. You look at when the club was founded, when we went to the first division, when we were relegated, when we won our first division title, the entire history of this club, and our ownership wants to just basically break with the first division of English football, now known as the Premier League, 20 times Man United. Like, you don't want to get 21. You don't care about league titles. You don't care about the first division of English football. That is what has made this club over 130 years, sir. It's unbelievable. The story of this sport, the rich history of this club, it's just like that proves you don't understand anything other than money. And when it comes to that, the Glazers, that's who they are. We've always known that. We've seen this movie before. We need green and gold. We need fans to take action and protest because this is just an absolute disgrace. This highlights it for everyone out there. And the fact that Manchester United is a part of this is just it's shameful. It's absolutely shameful. I couldn't hate Ed Woodward and the Glazers more. When Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's like absolutely getting this team to play well and is putting down good results, has to answer this question about Ed Woodward and the greedy Glazers, and it's just like, come on, man. It's just like at a certain point, it's just like there's has to be honor in sport. There has to be respect for your history of your club. Try to quiz Joel Glazer on our history of the club. He doesn't know shit.
He doesn't know shit, and they don't care about anything. And they basically drag Manchester United's good name into this. It's like, oh, Manchester United's behind. It's not Manchester United ain't behind it. The Glazers are behind it. And yeah, they own this great club, but they're pulling us into this mess. And the same reason is because Liverpool, they have an American owner who's running it like a private equity company. Same with Kroenke. He hasn't invested in their club for years. Perez wants that great power.
They're getting burned. Kroenke's 10th and he's getting burned because exactly. All these guys realize like, oh my God, owning sports teams in America is so easy and so much money. And here it's like really hard. The cost of the players are going up. It's like wages are a huge issue. And then you actually have to buy good players. You need a good coach and you actually have to win. And it's actually like, if you look at it, it's the hardest thing to do. Look at Leicester City, the Leicester City story. That's what it's about. You know, that has made this club. Leicester City's competing for top four because they won the league from nothing. They made all that money. They could keep the players. Then they could chip up. And that's what the story is all about. You can go from the fourth division to number one. It's been going on for over 100 years. What do these American owners know about it, dude? And, you know, hey, that's all I got to say about it, sir. We'll keep it posted on this one. But this is – it's not happening. It's not happening.
It's not. It's not happening, sir. And it shouldn't happen.
Next bit of juicy news.
Should we hear Paul,
this was the news coming in. Paul Pogba interview. You want to play it? Give me that interview clip.
Let's do it.
What we'd call like a war of words between Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Jose Mourinho before the game and after the game. And it was amusing for us to watch. What did you guys make of it as players?
I don't know what happened. I'm sure Mourinho put something or said something that would the people speak. That's what he does. And we got the result that we wanted. Just Ole knows it, and we enjoy that. We enjoy that moment.
What do you think the differences are between Jose Mourinho's style of management and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's style of management?
What I have now with Ole is different because he wouldn't go against the players. Maybe he doesn't put them. Or it's not like you put them on the side and they don't exist anymore. And I think that's the difference between Mourinho and Ole. Because once I had a great relationship with Mourinho, everybody see that, and the next day you don't know what happened. And that's the strange thing that I had with Mourinho, and I cannot explain to you because even me I don't know.
Tell us about the role that you play, because when you were bought by Manchester United, it was a...
Sir, there you go. Paul Pogba was saying what we all expected. You know, doesn't care about the players. And we saw it. We saw it firsthand as fans. If you were on the outs with Jose Mourinho, you were on the outs.
But he always did that with every player. I mean, like, he did it with Fred. He did it with, like, you know, even at
Shaw.
All teams, he's done it. He just, like, His resume is amazing, but then like when it stops working in the modern day and players actually like don't respond well to that, like you got to also change your tactics. And clearly Mourinho got burned by this one because he's now at Spurs doing the same thing. It doesn't look good. And I thought the best thing Pogba said here was that Mourinho, yeah, all he does is try to create controversy in the press because he can't win. He didn't say that, but it's kind of like you got that from it. It's just like, yeah, of course he's like creating controversy because he doesn't care about football. It's all the theater of the press conference. And, you know, sir, it's like he that was an old game. Jose Mourinho is just kind of like an old dog, can't learn new tricks. You see, it's the same thing. It's like, hey, man, you're at Spurs and you're losing. It's like you're not coaching Bayern Munich and winning. He acts like he's not losing games and playing horrible football and like alienating Dele Alli and Gareth Bale, players that are good that can help him. He's just making the same mistakes and floundering. And you know what? You know, Mourinho's Mourinho, but I think Pogba came out with these shots. It's uncharacteristic to talk this freely because Mourinho came out with the red card comment. After the Spurs game, he's like, Pogba should have had a red. He kind of went after him, sir. That was a little dig. And I was like, ooh, Mourinho kind of going after Paul P. And then Paul P. claps back. I think he had the last laugh here.
He had the last laugh for sure. And I think it's because, like you said, the controversy. Like, make it a controversy and don't talk about the results. If Spurs were ripping and rolling, you know, competitive, going to Europa League semifinal, yeah, in the top four with ease, I don't even think Jose would be saying that, but he is like a dead man walking and he knows it. He knows that Spurs are not investing in their team. They're going to sell one of their prize assets. They got Levy to deal with, and he just wants to make it about something else. So that's what Jose does. And it makes you appreciate who we got. Because I hate to say it, there are like things that people don't like, and understandably so, about Ole, about his record, about his pedigree as a manager. But nobody misses this. Nobody misses the fact that Jose Mourinho's press conferences were the most exciting thing about the day. You know, the game wasn't, because the way we played was boring as hell, and it was just him like making nonsense.
Dude, it's like the Kim Kardashian of like, you know, EPL football. It's like you're worried about what's the line from the presser instead of what are you winning. It's like Mourinho, he always blows it up, sort of self-destruction. It's getting spectacularly terrible at Spurs. You'll love to see it. On the note, Pogba spoke highly of Ole, came out this week. He wants a new Manchester United contract. He's demanding £500,000 per week. We talked about how we haven't heard about a Pogba contract. Seems like it's coming from the Pogba camp. $500,000 a week plus image rights. Might get him to $800,000 a week, sir. Riola the troll pushing for this deal. We're going to keep you posted on this one, but sir, right away, $500,000 a week, Paul Pogba, 4-year deal at Manchester United, yes or no?
$500,000 a week?
$500,000 a week.
I say I would take it only if you get rid of your agent. That's got to be the rule. We'll do it. We'll pay the agent fee on the re-up, but you got to get the hell out of there because we can't be signing him up to one of the biggest contracts in football and then have his agent pushing for a transfer the following year. So maybe, you know, it was the timing of that Sky interview was a little suspicious, right? Exactly. It does feel like it's being positioned as a transfer re-up, which is probably why people, you know, are going with this news so much. I think that added some legs to it. So I want Paul Pogba to stay. The problem is the agent's always been the problem. It's like we talked about it during the game. You know, he's the girlfriend that cheats on you, but because she's such a hottie, you put up with it. And you're like, well, maybe she'll eventually just make me a one-man show. And that's the problem with Paul, is that his agent runs his mouth at inopportune times, right? Right before the RB Leipzig game when we needed to win or needed to not lose the way we did. And you can't have that, right? This team is going to be pushing on for a title next year to win multiple pieces of silverware. You can't have one of your star men always flirting with an exit. It's not a good look. It's not good for the dressing room. And I would take him, but that's got to be a caveat. It's like, you got to get Riola out of here because he can't be having this voice that he's always saying stuff in the press week in, week out, man. We can't have it.
Haven't we learned about doing big money deals? Like, De Gea is one of them. You know, it's just like, to me, I think you're right. There's legs here because, again, with the Glazers and with Woodward, you're not doing upfront transfer fees, so you can actually do wage deals, and the image rights isn't that big of a deal. So you can get Pogba mega money, but paying Pogba mega money, that doesn't necessarily motivate him, sir. And I think motivation is key. So like if Ole's locked up long-term and Pogba loves Ole and Pogba's playing well, which he is, then yeah, I mean, that could work. It's just, you know, these big money deals make me nervous. I have to think you could get Declan Rice in, you know, like trade Pogba for 50, get Rice in, get, you know, Pogba's kind of that, I wish it would have worked, but fool me once, right? It's kind of one of those where, like, the girls cheat on you a few times, sir. It's like, come on. You don't give her the big money deal.
You don't move in with her. Yeah, she's been cheating on you. You don't, like, get a place together and you pick up all the rent.
I would love it. I would love it. I can't trust him and his agent. You know what I'm saying? It comes down to, I love the product on the field. She's damn fine, sir. I just can't trust the agent. I can't trust him. Can't trust him with the big money deal.
Dude, it's true. It's like, and you know what? Our track record with signing up big money, you know, re-ups has not been good. Right, as soon as De Gea signed, his form dipped in a major way. You know, I'm not as worried about Paul Pogba's form dipping. He has had injury issues that have been an issue, but it's his agent. Because you know what? People get injured. That's one thing. But you can't have the agent always talking about other clubs. It's just not, it's not a good look, especially because you're a star man at Manchester United. You know, you can't have it.
Absolutely. So let's jump into fan questions. Thank you for everyone who tweeted us. Twitter is finally back up and running, sir. It's been a few days. It was crazy. Thanks for all the questions, comments, and banter. Let's jump in at Davey T _ quote, Mason Greenwood can start at number 9 next year. United getting the job done. We look in form. Let's go win a trophy.
Let's go win a trophy. He looks so good with Eddie Cavani. I want to see more of that. Keep him around for one more year. You know, that way we don't have to worry about signing a number 9 this summer. We got enough to worry about, but what a role he has to play in this club.
At the Alex Davis 33, quote, Mason was magic, Rashford looked great, and we need Eddie. We need to write Eddie a blank check to stick around if we aren't getting Haaland, and we aren't getting Haaland. I may be overly optimistic, but the title isn't settled yet, especially if KDB misses time. You know what? Part of winning leagues and going deep in Champions League is managing both. And City, I'm going to say, if United can keep winning these games like we are, sir, you know, I'm feeling good about making City a little nervy about the title. I don't think we can win it, but I think we can make them feel a little nervy, like 5 points, 4 points, something like that.
Hey, if it feels like a title race at the very end, that's a lot of momentum heading into the summer. So we'll take it. You know, it's like, give them something to sweat about.
You know, exactly. And like that momentum, sir, like feeling like we could win it, feeling like we should have won it. You know, I think the players will go a long way. At Lou _Dav77, Mason Greenwood has an amazing knack for getting the ball in the net. Rashy with a nice assist on the first goal. Totally. At Rugby Teacher, quote, Super Green League is an absolute scandal. Glazers see an opportunity to place themselves at the top without having to really invest but reap the rewards. This is not the NFL. I think that's a great summary of the Super League. At JDW300, if you don't think we could use Cavani for at least another season, you're nuts. His movement, intelligence, finishing, even if we get a winger, I still want him up top. Greenwood's brace, top class, firing at the perfect time, ready for lead scum. Sir, you hated Cavani when we signed him. Are you a fan?
I didn't hate the man. I just hated the idea of it. Felt reactionary. Felt like an Ed Woodward special. Felt like when we signed Fellaini on the last day of the window in 2013. That's why I reacted this way. But he has certainly, he's earned my heart. I'm the number one Cavani fan, sir. He's a big time player. He brings a lot to the side. He's got a lot to teach. Sign him up for another year at least.
So we're going to, in the summer, we'll bring back your Cavani take. You know,
please don't. Please don't.
At ICU1, quote, we look bad at times, but Greenwood with a hell of a game. 8 points behind shitty. Let's go. By the way, the Glazers are going to kill this club with the Super League BS. Hashtag Glazers out. At @Ant_Triola, love this tweet. Coffee is for closers, and this team is drinking gallons of it. Hashtag Glazers out. I mean, they are, dude, finishing the game at the death, not like defending like you're worried about you're going to give up a goal like we used to, and actually on the counter, Cavani integral in all those types of goals too, and like finishing the game off. That is ruthless. That's the Manchester United way. At United Dondo, we keep finding ways to win, and I love it. Greenwood hitting form at the right time. We have a healthy squad. This is the time to kick on and have everyone playing well. The lads look hungry. Who starts against leagues? Anyone rested for Roma? Interesting question, sir.
Maybe Marcus.
I think we rested Rashford, right? We rested Rashford.
I did, and I think you do. You know, it's like we got some big games left. Not that Leeds isn't a big game, but I think you got to save Marcus for the cup because he's a big-time player. We need him, and we need him healthy.
At Jamal Mota, Sirs, Mason is not only the future of the club, but he's also the present. Shout out to Ole for working with him through a slump. The progression of this team has made this team has made is obvious. Last year, this game is either a tie or we bottle it. How do we get Cavani to stay, sir? I don't think we can, right? I think it's just up to him, 100%.
I do, and I think, you know, he might be homesick. I think, I'm telling you, the fans not being there is a big thing, but I think if we win something, give City like a little bit of a scare at the end, that will be a motivator as well. You know, he'll get a Europa League. He's going to want to push on and win a title. Maybe his Pog was last year, too. We ride them both into the sunset, win 21, and then, you know, continue the rebuild in 22.
Sir, we got Arlo White in the comments here on our give us comments and questions. So shout out to at Mr. Black 30. Quote, I'm getting really tired if Graham Lasso and Arlo White, they could either say good defending by United or good try by the opposition, and it's always the latter, no matter who it is. Arlo White tweets back, yawn.
He's got too much time on his hands. I mean, he's got too much time on his hands. He's replying to our fans, but you love to see it. It means we got him rattled.
No, but the best part is keep tweeting all our white. He responds. Absolutely love it. Last one here at Jared KM82 Vintage United. Attack, attack, attack. Going for the kill personified by Rashford today. Love to see it. A little worried about Shifty Dean Hatterson. Rest up, lads. We got to win a trophy.
Dean Hatterson. That's a good one.
Yeah, dude. He looked about as good as that hat today. That hat had Edward Ed Woodward, Manchester United Superstore written all over it. It looked terrible. Like, whoever buy that. It's like, come on, just make some good merch. Like, their merch is terrible, bro. It's like so terrible.
So I got to go to www.americaredevils.com. Click on store. We got some of the best merch in the game. It did feel like Ed Woody. It's that logo, you know, all he's missing. He should have been rocking some of those. Who's our sunglass sponsor?
Maui Jim. So they make them as cheap as possible and charge as much as possible, make as much money as possible. That's the problem with this team. But just quick comment on Jared's tweet. Marcus Rashford today, playing injured, looks like the best player on the pitch. I mean, he had a day. Obviously, everyone's talking about Greenwood gets his goal. Rashford was lightning in a bottle. That was a week's rest. Still hobbling off the pitch, but man, shout out to Marcus, dude. Marcus, and now we're looking at Marcus, Mason, Cavani, Martial healthy next season. That's why we got to keep Cavani. But Marcus, what a hell of a day. Hell of a day.
Even injured, he looks unplayable. So let's get him some rest. Let's get him a week off, maybe more. And this will be a week off even for Leeds, so he'll probably be starting, sir. He's going to be fiending to go.
Absolutely. That is the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. You want to support independent fan content, check out our Patreon page, www.americaredevils.com/Patreon. Check out our website, like you mentioned, sir, www.americaredevils.com. We have amazing fan-generated blog content there, all by fans of this club, sir. We've got to be getting out some articles about the Super League soon. Hashtag Glazers out. Can't stand for this in any way, shape, or form. Click on store while you're there. We got great merch, sir. You know, if it's not good, we return it. It has to meet our quality standards. That amazing Stanley Chow badge logo on blankets. We have it on pins, sir. We got our Glazers out scarves on sale, $9.99. So if you want to support the green and gold, pick one up there too. Write a review on iTunes, sir. Give us our top downloads the last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? Columbus, Ohio, Placentia, California, Dublin, Ireland. Appreciate you. Rohart Park, California, Oslo, Norway. There you go. Appreciate you too. Hotlanta, Chicago, Illinois, El Trafico, as you call it, LA, California, Rockaway, New Jersey. How we doing? And last but not least, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. So we also got Warrington, UK, Aberdeen, Denmark, and Sarpsborg, Norway, sir. American Red Devils all over the globe. Couldn't do it without you. Getting to the business end of the season. A lot to play for still.
Dude, business end of the season. Let's go. Manchester United, silverware, and a strong second finish and almost Pippin shitty. I'm not going to say too much. The footballing gods, they're listening. I don't want to jinx it, but, you know, I'm feeling good about this team right now. Feeling good about Eddie Cavani. Feeling good about Mason Greenwood. Even Dean Hatterson, my man. You know, we're playing well. United look like a team that are hungry for silverware. Time to feed them. Let's go.
Rooting for Aston Villa midweek, sir. Can they do us another favor? Love to see it.
Big Jack Grealish guy. You know, this guy, you've never met a bigger fan of Jack Grealish's Cavs than Alex on the pod here.
Well, you know, talent recognizes talent, sir. Cav, as a big Cav man myself, you know, just jelly of those Cavs. I think he'd be great in Manchester United. He'd be a great United player.
Absolutely. Look, it's been a crazy podcast. We got Super Leagues. We beat the Builders on to lead scum. It's going to be a great week. Everyone enjoy it. And then we'll be covering you. We'll get you a pod next Sunday, sir. As always,
kicking a blue.